There were 17 people in the delivery room when he was born, and Dr. Fajardo was the one who intubated him. He was the one who had prepared us for him to die. When he was born, I remember his voice saying, "We have life."
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart.
And then there was just all of this activity around resuscitating him.
Without saying a word, you can light up the dark.
They told us he would have 22.5% lung volume and that he couldn't live. And he said, "Those are just numbers. I don't care about that now. Look at, this is your son. He's right in front of us." He was a week old when Dr. Carlos came in, and I said, he opened his eyes for me. He opened and he looked at me like I could tell he knew me, and he said, "Of course he's in there. He knows you. You're his mama."
The smile on your face lets me know that you need me.
He had to be transferred over to the ICU because he needed surgery. Even that 5-minute drive is really incredibly risky for them. So there were a lot of people, transport nurses and charge nurses and doctors and EMS people, and there was going to be another whole team of people at ICU who were waiting for him at the children. They know that these sick little babies are part of a bigger unit. The babies in ICU are little sedated, very ill blobs. But their mommies and daddies are like terrified individuals who need care too, or the whole thing can't come together.
Drown out the cry.
We were waiting for surgery because that needed to happen, but they needed him to be stable enough to survive the surgery. Every day, once we got over to the children's, every day was like, "Is tomorrow surgery?" And then the day that they said they thought he was well enough, a nurse stuck her head in and said, "He's going to surgery today." The surgery was the live or die thing. But there was nowhere else to go. It was either he's stable enough for surgery and we go do this, or we let him go. I mean, those hours of sitting in his little empty ICU room waiting for him to come back were excruciating.
When you say nothing at all.
And then Dr. Brindle came back and she said she was very happy with it. She said, "Normally I don't see anything. When I pull the intestines down out of their chest, I don't see anything because the lung on the affected side is like a raisin. So I can't see it from my vantage point." But she said, "I pulled that stuff out of his chest and his lung inflated."
The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you never leave me.
He has 2 full-sized lungs. I had no questions about what she could do. She loved him.
You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Like, you could see the connection that she had with him, that he wasn't just like a diaphragm to repair, that he was her Sam.
The smile on your face lets me know that you
April 4th, he was extubated. That tube coming out that day was one of the most beautiful things because we'd never heard him cry. Like, we'd never heard him make a noise. There he was crying and crying and there was nothing coming out. And then there would be like this little mew, like a little kitten sound and a little squeak. And it was really amazing.
When you say nothing at all.
Leaving the hospital was really hard for me that way. Of course I'm supposed to be happy, and of course I am, right? Like, my baby's done well, and he doesn't need to be there anymore, and it's time. But I was devastated to leave those people. I remember hearing people say, "Well, these people are my family." And I thought, well, really?
A smile on your face lets me know that you need me.
But they are your family, because I would sit in that ICU room every day. They were the ones who were with me for every emotion, for every celebration of his journey. And my other friends and family who were wonderful lived out there in the normal world. I used to look out over the parking lot and think, oh, my friends are out there doing normal things and thinking normal thoughts. And I'm here wanting my baby to live. And I wanted them to be in the normal world. I didn't even want them to understand that place. So those doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists really were our family. I know they have lots of patients, so I don't know if they ever understood how much they meant to me.